The best leaders are not those who can withstand any pressure. They are the ones who can just recover the fastest. Because resilience is not built during the crisis, it's built before and after. Hello and welcome to today's Leitwolf Leadership Podcast, your podcast for leading with impact. Many leaders believe that resilience means enduring more, enduring almost everything, never complaining, always being available, always strong, always having the answer. In short, they believe they have to be Superman or Superwoman. And I believe this is exactly the Superman trap. Because the best leaders are not those who can withstand any pressure. They are the ones who can just recover the fastest, regain clarity, provide direction when things get difficult and tough. When I review my last almost 15 years as a trainer, coach and consultant, and the 20 years in the corporate world that I had been in leadership roles prior to that, I observe a couple of phenomena that contribute to the Superman or Superwoman resilience trap. Contribution number one. Leaders believe they always have to be strong. Many leaders would never dare to show any uncertainty. They deal with worries on their own, inside themselves. They think they always need to be the bedrock and the lighthouse to anyone around them. And while I don't deny that this is one of the roles that leaders play, I do challenge whether that needs to be a permanent state. Because if you are the one who needs to know the answer, if you are the one and only who gives orientation to others, even in the most stressful of situations, then the result can be stress building up, decisions becoming increasingly lonely, decisions deteriorating in quality because they are fed only by one mind rather than by collective intelligence. And the teams around these leaders learn something that is not really helpful at all. They learn that vulnerability is not welcome in this environment. And that is a problem, especially since occasionally showing vulnerability and creating an environment of psychological safety where everyone can be themselves at any time correlates the most highly, for example, in Google, with high-performing teams. So that's problem one. Problem two, leaders carry too much themselves. That's a common phenomenon I've observed across thousands of leaders in all those years. Out of a sense of responsibility, they take on the conflicts that they are not even involved in, but they take the monkeys and help resolve the conflicts that, in fact, others should resolve on their own. They take tasks and decisions and responsibilities that others just don't want to solve themselves at all. All this taking of responsibilities, all this carrying so much yourself, might work in the short term, and it might give solutions one after the other in the short term. In the long run, however, it risks that you as the leader become the bottleneck. And you eventually first exhaust yourself, and then you exhaust everyone around you. Problem number three, recovery is mistaken for weakness. Your calendar is full, the to-do list keeps growing. Recovery only happens if there is any time left. And that moment that there is time left simply never happens. But leaders who constantly run on empty tanks, they run on empty energy reserves, they lose exactly what modern leadership requires the most: the ability to create clarity, composure, and the ability to make good decisions, right? So that's why trying to be Superwoman or Superman simply doesn't work. So what can you do instead? Let me share a few ideas and experiences that might be more effective. First, replace perfection with occasional vulnerability. You do not have to have an answer to every question. That's not your role. You are the leader of the pack. You need to ensure that ideas emerge. But rather than wanting to give all the answers, you should promote an environment, starting with your own mindset, of becoming buyers of ideas. You first, if you are the team leader or the country leader or the CEO. The most senior person should promote the environment of being a buyer of ideas, rather than knowing all the best answers yourself. Sometimes when people come to you and try to back delegate to you, if you are the team leader, simply say, "I don't know the best answer. Why don't we work together to find the best solution? Why don't you take the lead and have a chat with a few people of your choice and come back in 2 days and suggest what you believe is best?" People do not expect you. People don't expect their leaders to be superheroes. They do expect honesty and direction. And they do expect that they are listened to and that their arguments are heard and appreciated and assessed. But they are not surprised if you decide the exact opposite of what they recommended, as long as you give them a reason to understand why you decide the way you do. So, suggestion number one, replace perfection with occasional vulnerability, admitting that you don't have all the answers every single time. Idea number two for you to consider, share responsibility instead of collecting it. When someone comes to you with a problem, resist the urge to provide an answer, particularly to provide an answer immediately. Instead, return the question and ask, "What do you suggest?" And then listen to what they have to say. Resilient leaders build resilient teams. They develop people instead of making themselves indispensable. If people come to you asking you for a solution, although you are the leader, and if you give the answer, then the answer depends on you. And they learn that you give answers. You shouldn't. Just return the question and just ask, "So what would you suggest?" And then appreciate the answer. And in at least 9 out of 10 times, maybe in 10 out of 10 times, you'll be surprised about the quality of ideas that come your way if you just ask and listen. This way, you promote an environment where you grow your people, where you make yourself dispensable rather than indispensable. And that's one of the ingredients of good leadership. So share responsibility instead of collecting it. Tip number three, schedule recovery as deliberately as you pencil in performance, as you plan performance. Just last Friday, I'm working with quite a number of CEOs. Never more than 7 I support individually over a longer period of time. So right now I have 7, 2 great women and 5 male CEOs who I'm working with. Just last Friday, I had a 2-hour session with one of them. And we talked about the topic of sleep. And he started sharing, looking at his smartphone, looking at his Aura app. I also use Aura to share with me, well, in the last 3 days, I had 4 hours, 3.5 hours, 4.5 hours of sleep. But at least that one night when I had 3.5 hours only, I had 1 hour of deep sleep. But on the weekend, I fell asleep. Honestly, Saturday afternoon, I was so tired, I fell asleep. And my wife was not really amused, unquote. Yeah? So I asked him, "Dear ex, is that the way you want to live? Are you satisfied with sleep quality that's so low that you fall asleep on the weekend? Is that the life you want, right?" And he just considered briefly, and then responded, not really. So he put on his to-do list to reflect about sleep quality and to assess his sleeping routines and to consider changing them, to determine how much sleep he needs to be fit, when the right sleeping windows are for him to be fit, and then plan sleep accordingly and do sleep accordingly. Yeah? So schedule recovery as deliberately as you schedule performance. Treat exercise, sleep, family time, or quiet downtime, thinking time on your own, with the same importance as your most critical business meetings. Because resilience is not built during the crisis. It's built before and after. It's built in the habits that come before or after crisis. So in a nutshell, three tips for you to build resilience. One, replace perfection with occasional vulnerability. Two, share responsibility instead of collecting it on your own. And three, schedule recovery as deliberately as you schedule performance. Just a few weeks ago, I had a completely accidental opportunity to meet a successful young entrepreneur. We were about 70 people, 60 young tech founders in one of the most successful, maybe the most successful tech startup ecosystem, at least in Europe, going global. The network is called Evoa. It's 120 founders of fascinating ventures, and these are tech-savvy, smart, humble young people I love spending time with. So I met Adrian Rehse. Adrian is a successful young entrepreneur and founder of Envio Tech. If you're interested, look into the show notes and have a look. In listening to him, I detected that resilience has always been one of his superpowers, which is why I spontaneously interviewed him. So welcome and listen in. Yeah, dear Lightwolf listener, in this topic of resilience, I couldn't imagine a better guest speaker and supporter on this show than Adrian Rehse, who has proven resilience many, many times. He's a young man who is building a fantastic company. And just coincidence has it that here on the other end of the world, we meet each other and get into a great conversation. So Adrian, welcome on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So when you think about those situations, Adrian, where you needed to demonstrate resilience, how do you deal with problems, with setbacks that just want to stop you?
Yeah, for me personally, setbacks just belong to the journey. That's the first part. And the second is I just don't give up. I think that's one of my key personal traits, that I hate giving up, that I hate quitting, that I hate losing, and that I always find a way. That's just historically, just looking at my traction, so to say, has been the one guiding factor, that I always find a way, no matter how hard it is. Even if I have some self-doubts, I always tell myself, hey, this is a problem and I'm going to find a solution.
You just talked about the moments that occasionally you also have self-doubts. How do you deal with these moments, Adrian?
Yeah, great question. So I think it always goes back to the fact that I hate having these self-doubts, and I always try to not get into a downward spiral, that I always try to find a solution. And I think I always remind myself that, historically speaking, again, I always find a solution, no matter how tough the issue is. And if I have the tendency to think I won't find a solution, that I just reach out to people who can help me in this situation, and just remind myself that, hey, I always find a solution. This might sound a bit, I don't know, a narcissist. I don't have no idea, but it all revolves about this.
Yeah, it is not narcissism, I can tell you already. But in these moments, it sounds like you have an inbuilt reflex to say, shit, there is a problem, but no, I'm not giving up. There is a solution and I am going to find it. Have you always had this reflex, or did you develop this in yourself, Adrian?
Great question. I think it has always been a part of me. And I think the main thing which can prove this is that I've always, even if I didn't have the solution ready, I always tried to find it. And I always told myself I'm going to find it. And I think this is demonstrated first when I was very, very young, that my friends and I wanted to play Minecraft together. And yeah, we had the problem of having to purchase expensive computers, right? And yeah, let's just say they were 2,000 euros. And then I didn't have any skill of building them myself, but I knew if we were to build them ourselves, we could play Minecraft together. So I just learned the skill to build computers at the age of, let's say, like 6, 7 years old. And yeah, then build computers for myself, my friends, so we could just play Minecraft together, even though I never knew I could build computers. And yeah, just as an anecdote.
So playing Minecraft was very motivating at that age, I guess. Great. Would you mind sharing the company you're building, Adrian?
Of course. Yeah, I'm building Enviotech. We're a young green tech startup from Frankfurt am Main. And our goal is to make streetlights more efficient, more intelligent, which stems from the fact that currently in Germany, energy prices are very high and municipalities don't have much money. So what they sometimes do is turn off the streetlights, which is a huge safety hazard. So what we've built is a device, you screw it onto the streetlight, and through intelligent motion detection, for example, we're able to then dim up the streetlight, save 80% of the energy costs without having the trade-off with safety, security at night. And yeah, we're now rolling this out in Germany and the EU.
And when you demonstrated that product to me a few moments ago, when basically we met, I was just taken by surprise how easy it was. So would you visualize the product for our audience?
Yeah, it's just a very small puck. I always say it's not rocket science. Of course, it's a multi-layer PCB with many different components, but ultimately it's just a device telling the streetlight to shine at what brightness, depending on what external conditions, be it motion detection with a radar module or other streetlights with our communication device. But yeah, ultimately it takes 15 minutes to screw on the streetlight, and from day one, we save 80% of the energy.
That's amazing.
So this was maybe 2 minutes with Adrian Reese. And isn't it exciting? Isn't it inspiring to feel the energy and also listen to his perspective on resilience? He has this reflexive instinct to always go for a solution rather than admiring a problem for way too long. I love that attitude. Now, my question to you, quick poll. What do you find more difficult as a leader? A, asking for help, or B, letting go and giving responsibility to others? Please pick up your phone, go into the show notes now and invest these 5 seconds just to tick your box. So what do you find more difficult as a leader? Asking for help, or letting go and giving responsibility to others? I'd love to hear your perspective. Thank you in advance for investing the time. In a nutshell, my key takeaway on this topic of resilience. The most successful leaders I've met were not invulnerable. They were not at all superheroes. They were human. They knew their limits. They asked for support when they needed it. They shared responsibility. They delegated and empowered more than others thought they would be able to carry. And they understood that sustainably high performance only exists when you take care of your own energy as well, when you build your resilience for the time when you need it. And perhaps that is the most important insight. Resilience does not mean enduring any time forever. Resilience means recovering frequently, and recovering faster than others. Or even shorter, when leadership believes it has to be Superman, it's on the wrong path. Great leadership has the courage to stay human and to build resilience for the time when you need it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you just took a little bit away from it that helps you become the version of yourself that you'd like to be. Thanks for being on the show, and looking forward to having you here again next week. Have a great week and speak soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.